Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The show kind of stinks.
Everybody wants it. Hi, welcome back. What is Bill Starrett saying on Twitter?
Mario was too hard.
Too hard.
Someone else just tweeted, I just overheard during On Air Will's Jam or No Jam that there's no sexier SOB than 1978 Barry Gibb. I'm screaming. These are my favorite KC people.
Aw. somebody said on the text line, this is unreal. There's no way. To which I wrote back, and I would tell everyone, it's all real, and I swear on my father's grave.
Evidence of that is the fact that I played Santana.
Yeah, what? We're going to have a talk after the show, Sam. I'm not going to lie.
That was yacht rock.
Going to need you to come in here and bring your headphones.
He played
Do you know what his punishment should be? No, you know what his punishment should be? He has to listen to Air Supply on a loop for the next 24 hours.
Now that's yacht rock.
I may not survive that 24 hours.
Yes, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Come back tomorrow a little lost in love.
Or bread.
Oh, bread. Just make him listen to If. On a loop for 24 hours.
You're walking around going, I want to make it with you. I want to make it with you.
Jam.
If a picture paints a thousand
words.
Oh, God,
please don't.
Congrats to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah,
Did you guys watch last night?
Oh, God, you could not escape it.
What are you talking about?
I can't stand the NBA. All Twitter last night for however long those games last.
It's a best of game seven.
Was Milwaukee. That's all it was.
It's a best of seven games. Yeah, when we went to six games.
Right. They lost the first two. They're one of like three other teams to come back from a 2-0 deficit.
They were 0-2 and then won the next four.
And Giannis dropped 50 points in the final game, which doesn't happen often.
I wish I could get into the NBA. It's just not going to happen.
If we had a team here, would you be more likely to get into it?
I would say no, but look what happened in Oklahoma City. I mean, they love that team. So Kansas City has tried and tried.
Well, they only had a team for 2 years.
Well, but they're always kicking the tires on it. And I've always said in our town, there's only so many ways you can split a pie.
Fair
okay.
Point. Fair.
We are a huge soccer town.
Yes.
Huge football town. Huge baseball town.
Most of the time.
We cannot add NBA into that mix. It's too much. Or hockey. I'm sorry, hockey fans. I'm sorry.
I would go watch an NBA. I know that hockey fans they're like bicyclists. They're crazy about their sport, and I get it. I love soccer.
At least hockey fans aren't in the middle of the road. Sorry.
Fair point. Anyway, I cannot watch hockey, and I have tried. I don't know how you do it at your house, because I know Chris is a huge fan.
It's just noise on in the background. You in here.
I have. Wow.
I mean, do you understand the rules of the game?
No!
They're not.
That's why you can't watch it.
They're not unsimilar dissimilar to soccer.
Pretty close, yeah.
It's basically soccer on ice with padding on.
lot more contact and a lot faster pace, yeah.
Well, yeah. But it's that damn puck. I cannot follow the – and don't say, well, because you're old, Scott.
No, don't
He's
they,
like old. He's
don't
like
they
older
make
than
it with the zoom, zoom, zoom
they
thing on it now
to.
So you can see it?
Fox did that back in the 90s. It was a horrible failure. But I even when I was younger, I wanted so badly to get into hockey. I'm like, this looks like a fun sport to get into and to enjoy and to watch. I can't do it. I just can't. It just like, it's like, my God, slow down.
But here's what's funny. With the hockey fans, because I have several of them in my life, there's no gray area. You are either psycho hockey fan.
Mm-hmm. Or you're like
or
me.
You've never watched it in your life.
Well, I'm the gray area. I like to watch it, but I'm not psycho.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't name more than five players, but if there's a game on, I'll sit and watch it.
I know Tampa Bay won this year.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you who won last year.
But really, though, with the affinity for KU basketball, you think that we couldn't build a love for an NBA team in this city?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, there are a lot of KU players in the NBA. A lot.
I mean, you see what happens when the Big 12 tournament comes here. It is packed.
It's packed, but that's college. We are a college basketball town, and that's okay.
Yeah, and you may not recognize the KU players because they only stayed for 1 year.
Okay, wow. You know what? The well, one time, I will take this back, the one time I would actually go pay money to see an NBA game, I would do it with my sons. They're huge NBA fans. When we were in Miami, I actually looked it up and said, oh my gosh, let's see if there's like a Miami Heat game. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there just wasn't one that lined up when we were there. I would take my son to go watch it because I know how much he enjoys it.
See, I'm not a, man, park it on the couch if there's an NBA game on, but if I'm just scrolling, look for something to watch, and I see there's an NBA game on, I'll watch it. I like the NBA. Well, I don't like make a point of like, you got to be on the couch.
It's not appointment TV.
Well, and with the number of KU players that make an impact in the NBA, I would think, Dana, that you would want to know what they were doing. Like one of the Morris twins is on the Lakers.
Yes, that's, and I'll tell you this, that's how my sons got started. They started following the graduated KU players, and now they watch all the time. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
See, and listen, I went to KU, I get it. It was more fun watching the NBA when there were people playing
when
in
Paul
the NBA.
Paul Pierce was playing.
Who had been there for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And you know, you got used to them playing for KU, and now here they are playing for Boston or for Orlando or Atlanta like Jock Vaughn. And so you remembered them from college. Now I see the name on the jersey, and I'm like, I think that guy may have stopped in Lawrence for a year on the way out, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, sure enough, he did. But anyway, so the Bucks ended a 50-year wait for getting the NBA championship.
Cool.
The Phoenix Suns still do not have an NBA title.
Chris Paul, who has been on many storied teams, still does not have a title.
Isn't that amazing?
He's like the Susan Lucci.
Yeah.
Like he makes it
basketball?
To the finals all the time and still doesn't have a title.
Mm-hmm.
With many different teams.
He's like the Jim Kelly of the NBA.
Yeah.
Goes a lot, never wins it.
Like the Blues until a few years ago.
Yep. Hey, when we get back, Kansas City has just moved the homeless encampment out of Westport and put it in Penn Valley Park.
Oh, good Lord.
And now the parks director is saying, no. In fact, Sam was watching. Wasn't it the Kansas City, Missouri City Council today that you were watching?
Oh, yeah. They were getting a little bit heated.
Trying to argue about where are they going to put these people. And I don't mean that derogatorily. Where are they going to put these people?
It turned to snark very quickly. Let's just put it that way.
We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Bring it.
Well, something just dawned on me. I was getting messages from people that I didn't know. You remember me saying that earlier on Facebook?
What's going on?
One guy was driving me crazy, to which I responded at one point, what the blank are you talking about? And then I unfriended him because he wasn't making any sense. I sent out a couple of friend requests to one of them being to Laura Moritz. And because I couldn't believe we weren't friends on Facebook yet.
Were you logged into somebody else's account?
And then I answered a question just now on what was the best concert you ever saw. And I just wrote Prince 1987 Sign of the Times tour. And when I hit return, I looked at him like, why did John Grayson wasn't at that concert? I'm like, oh my God, I'm logged in. And I was writing
Were you fighting with one of his friends?
No, I just said, what the blank are you talking about? And I unfriended him.
Sorry, John.
Whoops.
Remember that 30-year friendship you had with your buddy Paul?
It's over.
It's over.
And he wrote me back, and he's like, well, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, lunatic, get out of here. Unfriended.
Put down the bath salts.
Whoops.
So if you go to the top right corner, there's an arrow. If you click on it, you can log out.
I just logged out. I didn't realize
it's good to do that.
I was on his account.
Priceless.
Because we use the same. But, John, you've lost a Facebook friend today, and you'll soon be friends with Laura Moritz at KMBC 9 News.
You're welcome.
I was like, I thought we were already friends. Story here from Fox 4, so you know it's true. A Kansas City homeless camp could be on the move again. Public Works moved Camp 6 out of a median in Westport over the weekend. You guys heard about that. But Monday, Interim Parks and Recreation Department Director Roosevelt Lyons said the city is violating its own ordinance. A camp at Penn Valley Park has now grown to about 20 tents as of last night. One Park Place HOA president, Jerry Catlin, said the city never discussed plans to bus homeless people to the park next to their residential building. The Parks Department says it didn't authorize it either. Penn Valley Park overlooks Kansas City's skyline. Says Lauren McDougald, there's a lot of skaters. There's some times that tennis players, me and my brother, will come out here and play basketball. And it is also home to the iconic Scout Monument. Everybody knows where this is. It's kind of the symbol of Kansas City. But now there's a new symbol of a months-long debate over Kansas City's homeless issue, tents lining the park's walkway up to the Scout statue.
Lining the walkway up to the statue.
Yeah. Have you been up there before?
Oh, yeah.
You have to park on that little terrace and then you walk up the little hill.
Do people fish right around there?
Kansas City's Public Works Department cleared the homeless out of Westport as part of what it called an effort focused on litter, improper storage, and tenting.
Did you hear they also said you can take anything you can grab, and if you can't fit it in a garbage bag or grab it, we're tossing it. And so I feel like you've uprooted these people. The city says, here, plop down here. And now another city person says, no, they're going to have to move again.
You can't just put them up there by the Scout statue overlooking the entire city.
Just not. Every single time we talk about this, we just go in circles because I don't know what to do.
Well, and I think I said in the last time we discussed this, and I still believe it and I stand by it, this is a problem with no solution. It really is. You can throw money at it. You can throw housing. Yeah, you can throw housing at it.
It's got a whole lot of Band-Aids, but...
Yeah. But what you're trying to do is put a little tiny Band-Aid over a gaping wound.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to stop the bleeding. I wish I was smart enough, or anybody was smart enough, to figure out what the solution is.
And they tried hotels. And
they ended up kicking them out before it was even up.
I was going to say very mixed results there. And you remember in Lawrence, the business owner saying, we don't want, you know, sometimes the homeless population comes with addiction issues, drug issues.
Crime. Yeah.
And you remember the business owners that lived by that hotel in Lawrence were like,
7th and Iowa.
Seriously?
Yep.
Well, and they've talked about buying an old hotel. They've had a ton of ideas. They're even considering buying old vacant properties and rehabbing them
and just giving people houses.
And
Sam, you're a little young to remember this, but when one of our 50 superintendents was here, was it Covington, that shuttered, 36 or 40 schools and consolidated buildings, which needed to happen.
Yep.
For years, those old school buildings sat vacant. And it is one idea to repurpose city-owned buildings to house the homeless. But then you get back to the liability issue, Scott. What happens when someone slips and falls and hits their head?
Well, look at what they did at Bartle Hall.
What happens with security?
They opened Bartle Hall, and that was controversial because who they hired to do the security? Remember?
And then on top of that, where are schools located? In neighborhoods. You're going to have to get the people in that neighborhood to agree.
Well,
to...
and I remember this, Sam. The people in those neighborhoods were furious when the schools were closed and consolidated because you want to be able to say, look, I live near the neighborhood school.
Yeah.
How would you like it now to say, I live near a neighborhood school that has been vacant for 10 years, is unkempt. Oh, and now we have homeless people
right.
moving in.
And here's the problem when you close that neighborhood school. It's the angel you know versus the devil you can never predict.
Correct.
And when there's a school in the neighborhood, everybody's happy. We live right because you know what it is.
Yep.
It's not going to be some crime haven, et cetera. But when the school closes, everybody gets upset. But you think, oh, they'll sell it off. They'll put up houses or maybe a business will move in there on the corner, whatever. You don't think that school is going to, in 10 years from now, become the city's last-ditch effort to figure out the homeless problem.
I know. And it's not a last-ditch effort. It's the latest Band-Aid.
Fair point. 576-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments here in just a moment. But the city shut down, the big median in Westport. That's where they had set up camp. Most recently, and finally the city was like, no, you can't be here. They moved him to Penn Valley Park. But the guy who runs the parks department for Kansas City says, wait, whoa, 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 you can't just go putting him up in my park? Nobody even asked. 576-7798, and the folks who live at One Park Place, the HOA president's like, nobody even discussed this with us.
Well, there are some very... very high ticket, high rise condos around there too, Scott.
576-7798. The problem with no solution, unless you've got one. When we get back after a quick news on Dana and Parks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, welcome back. We're talking about the problem in Kansas City regarding the homeless and just what is the answer, which seems to be the topic every time this comes up. They had set up camp, they being the homeless population here in Kansas, or some of them, set up camp in Westport recently on the big median in Westport. And the city finally said, okay, all right, this is getting out of control.
They were there for 2 days.
Okay, so it lasted 2 days before the city said, okay, we can't have this.
Yeah, Thursday the 15th was when the hotel stay program ended. They bused them somewhere, we don't know. And then the tent camp showed up in Westport. And 2 days later, they cleaned it out.
And the hotel program was supposed to last for what, 90 days?
It was 90 days, and July 15th was the end of that 90 days.
And then we have another one from the Northeast News. I love that little newspaper, by the way.
It's good paper.
Online. This was posted late today by Lexi Garcia. It says, on July 20th, so yesterday, the City of Kansas City's Neighborhoods and Housing Services Department conducted a sweep at the intersection of Independence Avenue and the Paseo to remove solid waste left by individuals camping there. The unhoused individuals formerly living at the median in between the exit and on-ramps for I-29 were told to leave. One individual named Todd said the only certainty he has is that he will be sleeping in his tent somewhere. He wants the city and its people to help the unhoused find shelter. Just accept them for who they are and try to help them, he said. Don't kick them off for no reason. Just tell them, hey, there are dangers out there that are crucial to your well-being, but let us have a place to stay. The city came through the intersection after receiving multiple reports regarding people wandering in the street and nearly getting hit by oncoming traffic.
What do you mean, just accept us for who we are?
This is also
pooping in the streets.
I know. This is also right by Kansas City University, who described the situation as a threat to KCU. Quoting here from the president, the encampments pose a clear and present danger to KCU students, 700 of which are returning to campus Monday. We fear that the existing tents are simply a toehold for what will inevitably become a greater problem for the neighborhood. And look at some of the trash they hauled away.
Where did they get that big leather
couch? It's a huge leather couch. It's shopping carts full of stuff. It's tents. It's tarps. There has to be, and this is what it looked like before they cleared it out, there has to be a better solution than the whack-a-mole of letting these tent encampments pop up and then spending, wasn't it $100,000 every time to clean up one of the larger camps?
I think so.
There has to be a better solution.
What is it?
Well, moving from point A to 6 miles down the road to point B, then right. Getting kicked out of point B and moving to C, in no world does that make sense. Fiscally, socially.
And there are some people in these homeless camps, I'm sure, who just need some help, okay? But a lot of them, I'm not saying the majority, I don't know, but a lot of them are people who need help but don't want help.
But don't want it. You heard, read between the lines of what Todd said. You heard him say, just accept this.
Give me some place to put my tent. I'm not dying on you tomorrow, so sorry about that. You're going to have to find a place to put me.
Accept them for who they are.
Well,
and try to help them. And who they are, what he's saying there is we want to live this lifestyle.
Yeah. Accept us for who we are. We want to be street squatters. No, we will not accept that. That is unacceptable. Let's go to Joe in Kansas City. Hello, Joe. Joe.
Joe is fiddling with his phone.
All right, partner.
That is loud.
Brian in Kansas City. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Hi.
So I was at Duke University getting a nonprofit management certificate.
Cool.
And they took us to a place called TROSA, T-R-O-S-A.
Okay.
It's a nonprofit that uses social enterprise to rehabilitate people from the streets back into society. They, just from what I can remember, they owned a business, a moving business. Everything was donated to them for that business. They used the people that entered into their facility to work the business. They moved the furniture, they drove the trucks, and they had jobs there. So they were housed on site, they had jobs on site, the food, the doctors, mental health, physical health, everything was taken care of on site. It's called TROSA, and I think a model like that would work here in Kansas City. I've been listening to you guys talk for a few days about this, and I'm like, TROSA.
Okay, I just looked it up, and you're right. Is this to help students who are homeless, or is it just a partnership with Duke to help the homeless in and around the campus?
No, they have nothing to do with Duke. I was just at Duke getting that certificate, and that's one of the things they showed us was social enterprise in the nonprofit management sector. So it doesn't cost the city anything. It's privately owned, but they take homeless people, rehabilitating, if they have a drug problem or
yeah.
They just need help, they just need housing, whatever their situation is, and they never have to leave. If they're working and they're contributing to the community, they can stay there. But the end result is they want to get them moved on to their own housing, back to their own lives. And like you said, some people just need a hand.
Right.
That'd be a perfect thing for that.
Brian, thank you for the call. I looked it up. The TROSA model is an award-winning, innovative, multi-year licensed residential program that provides recovery services, which has to be part of the equation, Scott, for men and women who are homeless with substance and substance use disorders. They serve an extremely vulnerable population who have faced multiple barriers to success. Nearly 90% have no health insurance, do not have housing. Over 80% have been incarcerated. A quarter do not have a high school diploma. TROSA provides a variety of services, including but not limited to safe and sober housing, daily care needs, vocational training, mental health and general counseling, health care, and education advancement opportunities. And for any of you listening who are going to say, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for it? They are already paying in Kansas City, Missouri, $100,000 to clean up a camp. And the story that you're reading about this encampment that was torn down is separate from the second story I found in the Northeast newspaper. 2 days apart, Scott.
There's a major issue with what you read. Sober housing.
Sober housing.
Huge.
They can stay there as long as they stay sober. How many are willing to do that?
Getting sober is not easy.
Well, so then imagine, Scott, getting sober when you're unhoused.
Right.
And the very uphill climb.
With no support.
The Everest uphill climb.
It's going to be hard. And the key to getting sober is you have to want to be sober.
Stability helps a lot.
Sure it does. Of course it does. But if you do not want to get sober, okay? I love when people get in trouble with the law for something that they did when they were drunk or high or whatever. They always put them in some sort of a drug treatment program. That's great. Until the day they get out.
Right. The relapse rate on day one is probably...
Yeah.
If you're forcing someone to get treatment, the relapse rate on day one is probably a thing.
All you did was probably, but not guaranteed, probably make sure that they didn't get high or drunk for 30 days. But on day 31, if they don't want to get sober, they're not going to be sober. Next up is, let's try Joe again, see if he's still there. Joe, hello.
Hi, Joe. Nope.
Who butt dials a radio station?
I don't know.
I spoke to him. Apparently he had something better to do. I don't know.
I don't know. We've had people call in on hold and they're ordering, getting pulled over.
Were you with us when his address?
Yes, remember the guy called in? He goes, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting pulled over. Yes. And we made him set the phone down, Sam. This is before you were here. We made him set the phone down, and we listened to the traffic stop live. It was hilarious.
Well, yes, officer.
Yes, officer.
You're going 55 to 30.
Trying to talk to Dan and Barks. Are you mine?
Hey, Joe, what's going on, man? Yeah.
No. Nope.
Yeah. 5-7-6-7-7-9-8. Just real quick from the text line, and I think this was directed at me. A texter wrote in 9004. Don't be so cold-hearted. And I wrote back, I'm not trying to be cold-hearted. I'm trying to be logical. This is a problem that rarely has a solution. You can't help those who don't want to.
And
be
I
helped.
Would say I am not cold-hearted. I really think that this is an issue. I think that especially where it comes to addiction, I wish there was a solution to get every single person that's unhoused services. But when you have a mayor moving an entire homeless camp from point A to point B without checking with the parks director at point B, who then comes out the next day and says, get them out of here.
Right. Who thought putting them up by the Scout?
Scott, I don't know.
Monument would be a good idea.
As you go into the, I don't know, the Auschwitz exhibit right now that everyone's flooding to at Union Station.
And the Scout Monument is, I mean,
it's kind of an iconic thing. That's what they cut away. They cut away to that Scout Monument during all kinds of sporting events.
Now, did they move them there or did they move them elsewhere and that's where they landed? Because when they moved them out of the Westport property, all they said was we took them to another city property. They didn't specify that they dropped them off at that park.
Right. However, the Parks Department says it did not authorize the move. Okay, that's fine. Somewhere in here. Okay, here it is. A camp at Penn Valley Park had grown to about 20 tents by last night. One Park Place HOA President Jerry Catlin said the city never discussed plans to bus homeless to the park.
So they did drop them off at that park.
That's what Jerry Catlin seems to understand. and he's the HOA president, said the city never discussed plans with them to bus the homeless to the park.
And they also did the same thing at the end of the 90-day hotel stay program. They just showed up with buses and took them somewhere and then dropped them off.
As 9004, the guy who says I was being hard, or gal who says I sounded heartless, says, how do you make people want help when they are sick? I don't know the answer.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
Ask any family member, and we have had heartbreaking calls on this program, Scott. Heartbreaking calls where a family member will call in and say, we have tried
everything.
We have tried everything. Mm-hmm. We have thrown money at this problem. We have thrown our heart and our soul trying to get. We had a woman call in once. She said, I don't know where my daughter is. I don't know if she's dead. I don't know if she's alive. I know that I have done everything I can to try and save her. If that woman's mother cannot get through to that human being, how is a city manager or a park? I mean, I just, it's an overwhelming problem.
Yeah. And 9004, listen, I appreciate you writing us and I appreciate your sentiment and I love your heart, but it is hard to help someone who is in the rabbit hole of addiction and doesn't want out. It's not hard. It's impossible. Until or unless they, and yes, they are sick. They are sick. Once they realize they cannot go on anymore like this, then they have a chance. They have a chance. I speak from experience. Roberta in Parkville. Hello, Roberta.
Hey. I agree wholeheartedly with Parks. I'm a psychiatric social worker, and we work really hard with the homeless, and there's a lot of different issues, like you said. And I think one of the things that needs to change is the law, because we have people who are mentally ill, and we get them straightened out in the hospital. They go back out in the community. They're in a placement 1 or 2 days. They act up, they go off their medicine, they come back to the hospital. You got to want it, and you can't make people get help. They have a right to refuse treatment. You know, it's just, it's very difficult.
Appreciate what you do, Roberta. Thank you for the call. Mary in Kansas City. Hello, Mary.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing quite well. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, in my opinion, it's a whole dual diagnosis thing. Mental health and addiction go hand in hand. And unfortunately, some people to get off the streets that have mental illness can discover that if they use, that will get them in a treatment, in a detox place to have a bed. And it can be a vicious cycle of detox, rehab, sober living, and again, and unfortunately, even worse, there are far, far more, not more, but there are a lot of scammy detox rehab places out there that do it simply for the insurance. And they get you almost to rehab, and then they let you slip because they want your, if you have insurance, you are a target. They want your insurance money because insurance pays a lot to try to help people with this. And it's a vicious cycle, a terribly vicious cycle. And even if you want help, addicts slip, addicts relapse, and unfortunately sometimes a relapse is the end of your life. And it's a vicious cycle, and I don't know. That guy from Duke with that one thing sounded like a great idea. Don't know how the funding comes, but, you know, there is no answer.
Yeah,
I've always wondered, too, Mary, if we're seeing these stories about Duke and people are calling in about this and there are other communities that have tried innovative things. You know that our city leaders know about these projects.
Sure.
I'm sure if you ask Quentin Lucas, did you hear about the project at Duke? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy to tweet it and send it to him. But I'm guessing there are people who at the city level do nothing but try and figure out what to do with this. And is it, I don't want to say worse, but is it worse in the last couple of years, Scott, or is it just more in the news than it has been?
Probably a mixture of both, not to take the easy way out on your question. I would bet it's both.
When we come back, a very, very sweet reunion. how many years after the Oklahoma City bombing? I'm going to tell you about it when we come back.
All right. Quick break for the news, then more of Dana and Parks in just a moment here on KMBZ. We'll see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.